the general outline of Acts, as you remember, we've gone over it every week basically, is derived from Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. As you know, this was a prediction that the apostles will be witnessing regarding the Lord Jesus in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and Rome. The witness of the disciples in Jerusalem is found in 1:1 through 7:16, in Judea and Samaria in 8:1 through 9:31, and to the uttermost part, not parts, but part of the earth. And you can tell by the book of Romans, it means Rome in 9:32 through 28:31. Shortly after Paul delivered the collection for the impoverished saints in Jerusalem, you will recall that he found himself confined in the custody of the Romans in Jerusalem, with the Jewish people calling for his death. Paul had to be wondering at that time how long he would live, but in Acts 23:11, the Lord assured Paul that he will testify about him in Rome. Of course, that means he's going to have to live a while longer. And how long it would take for him to get there and how he was going to get there was not made clear at this point in time. But it would be quite a while before he would even get to Rome, let alone witness there. We read that in Acts 23:11, and the night following, the Lord stood by him, that is by Paul, and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." Well, due to a plot by the Jews to kill Paul, as you will recall, he was transferred the next night to Caesarea, where he spent 2 years in prison. Along with other prisoners, he was then sent as a prisoner to Rome. And on the way to Rome, they were shipwrecked and spent the winter on an island known today as Malta. The next spring, Paul would finally arrive in Rome, where he was permitted to live by himself with a soldier who was guarding him. This is where we pick up the narrative as we complete our study of Acts this morning. It's also where we see the beginning of the fulfillment of the Lord's promise to Paul in Acts 23:11. We see Paul's house arrest and witness to the Jews in Rome. 3 days after arriving in Rome, Paul summoned the Jewish leaders in Rome and explained his situation to them. And they responded that they were unfamiliar with his situation, but desired to hear him because they had heard of Christianity. As a previously arranged appointment, the Jewish leaders came to visit Paul, and he witnessed to them from morning until evening, with the result that some believed and some did not. After Paul advised them what Isaiah had said regarding them and that God's salvation will be sent to the Gentiles, they left and debated among themselves what Paul had said to them. For 2 years, Paul dwelt in his own rented house and received everyone who came to him. Now, he was a prisoner. He was guarded by a prisoner there. He may very well have been chained to that guard. And of course, the guard would change from time to time. Was Paul permitted to leave that house? Probably not. He was a prisoner, remember. But God took care of him. During his 2 years of house arrest, Paul continued to openly proclaim the kingdom of God and the truth about Jesus without being hindered. According to verses 17 through 23, days after Paul arrived in Rome, he summoned the leaders of the Jews in Rome and explained his situation to them. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, "Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans." And transitions to the next thought in the context, in the sense of then or now. "It came to pass" is simply, "it happened." The content of "it" is that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, which in the Greek text actually serves as the subject of "came to pass" or "happened." After 3 days implies 3 days later, and likely includes the day of Paul's arrival in Rome, and it might also include the day on which they came. That Paul called the chief of the Jews together is that Paul summoned the ones who were first, who were foremost, who were most important, or who were most prominent of the Jews. And then transitions to the next thought in the sense of then or now. "When they were come together" is used in conjunction with "said," indicating time. And its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of "said." It's understood in the sense of after they, meaning after the chief of the Jews assembled, after they gathered or after they came together, he said unto them, he of course is Paul, is he was saying, or he began saying, and what he was saying extends through verse 30. He addresses the Jewish leaders as "men and brethren," that is, men, brothers. He addresses them and says, "Though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers," and it's used in conjunction with "was delivered," indicating concession. It indicates that its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of "was delivered." And it's understood in the sense of "although I did," "although I had done nothing contrary or opposed to the law," meaning to the Mosaic law, "or to the customs of the fathers," meaning the customs belonging to or inherited from or coming from our fathers, meaning our Jewish ancestors. "I," which refers to Paul, is emphatic. "Nothing against" has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, "I, nothing against having done to the law or to the ancestral customs. Yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans." It is, I was handed over as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. "Was delivered" suggests was handed over or was turned over. It's a technical term used in the sense of was handed over into the custody of. It was used in the previous verse of Julius handing the prisoners he had brought from Caesarea to the custody of the captain of the guard in Rome. Paul had been delivered into the custody of the Romans. Paul's explanation of his situation to the Jewish leaders in Rome continues in verse 18, "who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in him." Who refers to the Romans in Caesarea. "When they had examined me" is used in conjunction with "would have," indicating time. And its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of "would have." So it's understood in the sense of after they questioned me or after they heard my case. "Would have let me go" is "were willing to release me or to set me free." the reasons the Romans in Caesarea were willing to set Paul free is because there was no cause of death in me, because no cause or reason of death was in me. And their conclusion was that Paul had done nothing deserving of execution. Paul's explanation of his situation to the Jewish leaders in Rome continues in verse 19. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. But introduces a statement in mild contrast to Paul's statement that the Romans were willing to release him because they found no cause of death in him. When the Jews spake against it is used in conjunction with was constrained, indicating time or cause. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing or repeated and occurring at the same time as the action of was constrained. It's been translated as indicating time. And if showing time, it's understood in the sense of while the Jews were opposing or contradicting it, meaning contradicting Paul's being set free, or were speaking or arguing against it. But if showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because, since, inasmuch as, or in view of the fact that the Jews were opposing or contradicting it, were speaking or arguing against his being released. I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, as I was compelled or forced or obliged to appeal to Caesar. It indicates that he had no choice. Not that I had aught to accuse my nation of, is not that as if I had something or anything to accuse my nation of, or a charge to bring against my nation, meaning against my Jewish people. Paul's explanation of his situation concludes in verse 20. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. You see that? He's bound with a chain, though he's in his own rented house. For this cause, or because of this reason is expressed in the last part of this verse, beginning with the word because. Therefore, introduces an inference drawn from what Paul has just shared with the Jewish leaders in Rome. It's understood in the sense of consequently, accordingly, then, or so. Have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, as I, Paul, have summoned you Jewish leaders in Rome to see you and to speak with or to you or to address you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. It's because of or on account of or the sake of the hope or the expectation of Israel, I am wearing or bearing this chain. For introduces an explanation of the reason Paul wanted to see and to speak with the Jewish leaders. The hope or the expectation of Israel is the coming of the Messiah, as well as the resurrection of the dead. This chain has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. It reads literally, for because of the hope of Israel, this chain I am wearing. According to verses 21 and 22, the Jewish leaders responded to Paul that they were unfamiliar with his situation. And they said to him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. And transitions to the next thought in the narrative, in the sense of then. And they said unto him, where to him, that is to Paul, has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, it is to them. They, meaning the Jewish leaders in Rome, said. And what they said extends through the next verse. You'll see two neithers here. Neither followed by a second neither. They connect two negative statements in the sense of neither nor. We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, as we, Jewish leaders in Rome, did not receive letters about you, Paul, from Judea. We, which refers to the Jewish leaders in Rome, is emphatic. Letters concerning thee has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. It reads literally, we, letters concerning you received. Excuse me, I left out neither, didn't I? We neither letters concerning you received. Neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee is, nor did any of the brothers who came, who arrived, or who were present announce or speak anything evil or bad about you. One cannot help but wonder, at least I wonder, if they knew more than they were claiming. Yet the text accurately states what they said, even if it may not have been the whole or the entire truth. And I don't mean they were lying. Well, maybe I do mean that. Okay, maybe I back off on that statement. I can't guarantee that they were telling the truth. You know how people are. They tell you what they think you want to hear. And this might have been a case there. These Jewish leaders told him that they desired to hear what he had to say because they had heard of Christianity. Again, you wonder if they really wanted to hear what he had to say because they aren't going to believe it anyway. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against, but introduces a statement in mild contrast to what the Jewish leaders said in verse 21. We desire, we the Jewish leaders would like, or we are desiring to hear of thee what thou thinkest, to hear from you, Paul, what things you are thinking, what opinions or what views you are holding. For introduces an explanation of the reason the Jewish leaders wanted to hear from Paul himself, what he was thinking. A word appears in the Greek text which was not translated into the English, and it suggests indeed, or to be sure. As concerning this sect is about this sect and applies about this heretical sect by which they are referring to Christianity. We know that everywhere it is spoken against, it is known to us Jewish leaders, that everywhere it, meaning this heretical sect known as Christianity, is being spoken against. According to verses 23 and 24, at a previously arranged appointment, the Jewish leaders came to visit Paul, and he witnessed to them from morning until evening. Verse 23 reads, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And transitions to the next thought in the chapter in the sense of then or so. When they had appointed him a day is used in conjunction with came, indicating time, or a fact in addition to came. And its tense indicates that his action occurred before the action of came. It's been translated as indicating time, and it's understood in the sense of after they, meaning after the Jewish leaders determined or set for him, meaning for Paul, a day. But if showing a fact in addition to came, it's understood in the sense of they determined or they set for him a day. They took out their phones and they put it in there on the calendar schedule, all right? Just like you would do. There came many to him into his lodging. Is more, even more, or in greater numbers they were or kept coming to him at his, meaning at Paul's, lodging. So they didn't all come on the same day or at the same time. How many is many? Well, we don't know, do we? It suggests it's more than a few. We don't know. It could have been a lot, a large number, a lot of people. Might not have been as many as you'd like to believe, but we just simply don't know. To whom, I want you to notice something, he couldn't go to them. God had to send them to him, okay? You may be in a situation where you can't go to somebody, but he can come to you, all right? That's all right, let God do his work. To whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God is to whom, meaning to all those Jews who kept coming to him. He was expounding, he was explaining, and he was testifying of or bearing witness to the kingdom of God. And testified is used in conjunction with expounded, indicating a fact in addition to expounded or time. Its tense indicates that it was ongoing or repeated and occurring at the same time as the action of expounded. And it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to expounded, but of showing time, it's understood in the sense of while he was testifying of or while he was bearing witness to the kingdom of God, the reign or the realm over which God rules. It includes only people who have been genuinely saved. So you and I, as saved people, are members of the kingdom, the realm, or the rule of God. Paul had been told in Acts 23:11 that he would testify of Jesus in Rome, and his testifying of the kingdom of God is in partial fulfillment of this promise. God always keeps his word. He will also testify before others. To enter the kingdom of God, an individual must receive Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. The Jewish people needed to believe that Jesus was the Messiah who had died on the cross to save them from their sins. Persuading them concerning Jesus is the translation of another phrase used in conjunction with expounded, indicating a fact in addition to expounded or time. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing or repeated and occurring at the same time as the action of expounded. It has been translated as indicating a fact in addition to expounded. It's understood in the sense of he was persuading or convincing them regarding or of the things about Jesus. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of while he was persuading or while he was convincing them regarding or of the things about Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, is both from the law of Moses and from the prophets, meaning from the entire Old Testament. Just as Paul used the scriptures in his witnessing, you and I must use God's word in our witnessing. From morning till evening, suggests all day long. As a result of what Paul said to the Jews who came to him, some believed, others did not. And continues the thought of verse 23. A word appears in the Greek text which was not translated into the English. It sets up a contrast with the phrase introduced by the second and in this phrase. It's understood in the sense of on the one hand, and the phrase following the second and is understood in the sense of but on the other hand. Some believed the things which were spoken. As some were believing or were persuaded by the things which were said, which were asserted or which were declared. And some believed not. Now listen, it isn't necessarily the way you present the gospel that people accept Christ or don't. It has to do with the Holy Spirit bringing conviction to them through the Word of God, okay? So if they reject the message, it doesn't mean they're rejecting you, all right? It doesn't mean that you have to change the message to make it more palatable to them. It means they don't want what you're saying. They're rejecting Jesus as their Savior. Others believe. Some believe, some don't. It has nothing to do with whether you're successful or a failure. It has to do with whether they believe what God is teaching them through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Don't be discouraged just because somebody says no. They don't want the gospel. Go to somebody else. Let them go on their way. And don't give up on your children. They may not understand you that first 15 times or 20 times or however many. Don't give up on them. God will save them. And some believed and not. Some were disbelieving or were refusing to believe the things which were spoken. These are the two results which are expected every time the gospel is preached. Have people been in this church services and the gospel preached and they have left without believing? Of course. Is it the fault of the preacher? Well, some people think it is. That's their problem. It's not. It's because they don't want the word of God. Other people might get saved during the same service. Eventually, people who hear it either believe it or reject it. According to verses 25 through 29, after Paul advised them what Isaiah had said regarding them, and that God's salvation will be sent to the Gentiles, they left. Verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. The one word is, well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers. Esaias is Isaiah. And transitions to what happened next. It's understood in the sense of and, then, now, or so. When they agreed not among themselves is used in conjunction with departed. May be indicating time, cause, or effect in addition to departed. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of departed. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of while they, meaning while the Jews who had come to hear what Paul had to say were in disagreement with each other or with one another. If showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because, since, inasmuch as, or in view of the fact that they, meaning the Jews who had come to hear what Paul had to say, were in disagreement with each other or with one another. Or, if showing a fact in addition to departed, it's understood in the sense of they, meaning the Jews who had come to hear what Paul had to say, were in disagreement with each other or with one another. Not a lot of difference in meaning, it's just whether it's a showing time or cause or just a fact. They departed. They were going away. After that, Paul had spoken one word. It's used in conjunction with departed, indicating time or cause. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of departed. It's been translated as indicating time. But if showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because Paul spoke or made one statement. The statement Paul made begins in this verse and concludes in verse 28. What he said is, well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers. It is the Holy Spirit spoke well, meaning rightly or correctly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers or to our ancestors. By or through Isaiah the prophet indicates that Isaiah was the intermediate agent of the words which the direct agent, the Holy Spirit, spoke. Remember that when you are telling somebody how they may be saved, you are the mouthpiece, but the Holy Spirit is the one who's actually saying it to them. They are rejecting the Holy Spirit's testimony to them, not just your testimony. So don't take it personally. Don't give up just because somebody says no. Be a persistent salesperson. How's that? We had one of them showed up at our house this past week. I gave our leader the privilege of speaking to her, and then I cut her off a little later on. I didn't cut Arlita off. I cut the female salesperson off, all right? What I said was very simple. We are not going to buy your product. That's the end of the discussion. She packed up her things and left. Can you imagine such a reaction to my kind words? And I was kind. Definite, but kind. These words originated with the Holy Spirit. It speaks of the inspiration of the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit is the divine author of the Scriptures. Unto our fathers refers to the original recipients of these words from the Holy Spirit through Isaiah. In verse 26, Paul's quotation from Isaiah begins, saying, "Go unto this people, and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive." Saying is used in conjunction with spake in verse 25, indicating time or a fact in addition to spake, and its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of spake. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of while saying or while it, meaning the one word Paul spoke, was saying. If showing a fact in addition to spake, it's understood in the sense of and it, meaning and the one word Paul was saying. Paul quotes Isaiah 6, 9 through 10, and in this context refers it to the Jews who had visited him this day. It reads, "And he said, Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." Go unto this people and say is a commandment which was given to Isaiah, which indicates what Isaiah was to do. The tense of both go and of say indicates that Isaiah was to do these two things at once and without delay. Unto this people is to this people, and in Isaiah it refers to the Jewish people living in Isaiah's day. However, Paul applies it to the Jewish people listening to him on this day, as reported in Acts. And what he said extends through verse 27. "Hearing ye shall hear" is the translation of a Hebraism, which means "you will certainly hear." And shall not understand, but implies, but you will absolutely not or in no wise comprehend. Now, this is being said to people who rejected the message. You'll hear it, but you will not comprehend it. And seeing, ye shall see, is the translation of the same kind of Hebraism and means you will certainly see and not perceive. Also employs the strongest negative in Greek, means but you will absolutely not or in no wise perceive. It is because God had caused them to be spiritually blind by removing the spiritual light which they had previously had available to them. The same thing happens to others who repeatedly reject the gospel message every time they hear it. The spiritual light they had at one time gradually grows dimmer and dimmer until it is completely gone. There's no possibility of their being saved. Not that they care. They don't want it. Paul's quotation from Isaiah 6, 9 through 10 concludes in verse 27. "For the majority of Jews The result of Paul's presentation of the gospel fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. Notice, their ears are dull. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. 4 introduces the reason the Jewish people will hear but will not understand and will see but will not perceive. The heart of this people is waxed gross. It means the heart of this people became dull or insensitive. And it's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. Sadly, the hearts of the Jews to whom Paul witnessed but rejected the gospel became even more dull or insensitive than they had been previously, as the result of their rejecting the gospel message he proclaimed to them. And their ears are dull of hearing, suggesting they hear in their ears with difficulty, which means they're hard of hearing. The ears of those who rejected the gospel on this day became even more dull of hearing than they had been previously. You don't reject God and not pay a price. You gradually don't have many opportunities, and it gets fewer and fewer, and one day your last opportunity will have been given you, and if you have rejected it, you aren't going to have any more opportunities. And I know we believe from a human standpoint that a person can be saved as long as there's physical life in him. But from God's perspective, it may be too late for some people already because they've said no to God too many times. Don't say no to God. That is a big mistake. And their eyes, they have closed. It's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. It was something they chose to do. Their eyes has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, and their eyes they closed. Their eyes have become even more closed as the result of their rejection of the gospel. Don't reject it. Accept it. Lest seems best understood as showing negative result rather than negative purpose, in the sense of with the result that they not, or so that they not. Lest they should see with their eyes suggests with the result that, or so that they not see with their eyes. And lest they should hear with their eyes suggests and with the result that, or so that they not hear with their ears. With their ears has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, and with the result that, or so that with their ears they not hear. And lest they should understand with their heart suggests, and with the result, or so that they not understand or comprehend with their heart. With their heart has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. It reads literally, and with the result that are so that with their heart they not understand or comprehend. In the Greek text, heart is singular, but it is individualized for each Jewish unbeliever. The heart is viewed as the center of a person's being, including his intellect and maybe translated mind in some contexts, and should be converted, is and with the result that or so that they should be converted. The answer is they're not going to be converted. And I should heal them is with the result that or so that I should heal them. They will not be converted, and Jesus will not heal them spiritually. They have chosen to reject Jesus, and unless God gives them a chance to change their minds and be saved, they will be lost forever. And we don't want that for anybody, but it's true for others as well. In verse 28, Paul advises the Jews that salvation will be offered to the Gentiles as their result of their rejection of the gospel message. Verse 28 says, "Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it." That's going to make the Jews happy, isn't it? "Therefore introduces an inference drawn from the fact that some, apparently the majority of the Jews, disbelieved the message Paul shared with them. Paul had presented the gospel to Jews in Rome before he presented it to Gentiles, but although some believed it, for the most part it had been rejected. Therefore is understood in the sense of consequently, accordingly, then, or so. Be it known unto you is the translation of a third person command in Greek, for which English has no equivalent. It is, let it be known to you, or it must be known to you. Known has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, therefore known, let it be to you, or therefore known, it must be to you. And the content of it is that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and that they will hear it. The salvation of God is God's salvation, or the salvation from God. It's a salvation God offers sinners through belief in the crucifixion of Christ for their sins and his subsequent resurrection from the dead. Is sent as was sent, and it's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action unto the Gentiles, has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, to the Gentiles was sent the salvation of God, consistent with Paul's practice. Wherever he went, salvation was offered first to the Jews, and when they rejected it, it was offered to the Gentiles. And continues, what is to be known to the Jews who came to Paul in his lodging, and they will hear it, is they, the Gentiles, will listen to it, meaning to the message of salvation. They will hear it. After what Paul said to the Jewish leaders, they left him and debated among themselves what he had said. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And when he had said these words, it's used in conjunction with departed, indicating time or cause. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of departed. It's been translated as indicating time and is understood in the sense of after he or after Paul said these things, meaning the things referred to in verses 23 to 28. If showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because he said these things. These things has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. It reads literally, and these things he, having said. The Jews departed is, the Jews went away and had great reasoning among themselves is used in conjunction with departed, indicating a fact in addition to departed. It's understood in the sense of, and they were having great or much discussion or dispute among themselves. For 2 years, Paul dwelt in his own rented house and welcomed everyone who came to him. Paul dwelt 2 years, 2 whole years, in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. And transitions to the next statement. It's understood in the sense of then, now, or so. Paul dwelt 2 years in his own hired house as Paul lived, meaning he remained or stayed 2 full, 2 entire, or 2 complete years in his own rented house or rented lodging. It was during this 2-year period that Paul wrote the books of Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon, which are known as the prison epistles. And continues the thought, received all that came in unto him as he, Paul, was receiving favorably or welcoming all the ones who were coming or traveling to him. Since he was restricted from going to them, God sent them to him. During his 2 years of house arrest, Paul continued to openly proclaim the kingdom of God and the truth about Jesus without being hindered. Verse 31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ is the translation of two phrases used in conjunction with received in verse 30, indicating two facts in addition to received. The tense of both phrases indicates ongoing or repeated action occurring at the same time as the action of received. Both phrases are used in the sense of, and he, meaning Paul, was preaching or proclaiming the kingdom of God, and he was teaching the things about or concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He was proclaiming the message regarding the kingdom of God that people must enter it by receiving Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Have you entered the kingdom of God by receiving Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? If you haven't or are confused about that, you need to. You can talk with most anybody here in the church and they can show that to you in case I'm not available. With all confidence is with all openness. No man forbidding him is without hindrance. He was testifying in Jesus in Rome as Jesus told him he would be doing. Well, as we draw our study of Acts to a close, we see that Jesus' prediction in Acts 1:8 has been fulfilled. It said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth," which means and to Rome. We also see that Jesus' prediction in Acts 23:11 has been fulfilled. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." I trust that this study in Acts, as well as in all the other studies that we've gone through while I have been your pastor. I knew when I came here it was temporary and it might be coming to a conclusion, and that's fine. God's will is what we all want. We trust that he will accomplish his will through the meeting that is to follow. And we pray for the Blair family. We pray for the Curolo family. We all want God's will, whatever it turns out to be. And with that, we're going to close in prayer. Then we're going to sing a song. Then we're going to close the service in prayer. And I'm going to go out of the building, get in my car, and drive away. I will be back tonight for the evening service. But you have a meeting, and I should not be part of that. It would not be ethical. There are commentaries on the front pew of mostly of the second volume of Acts. There's one left of the first volume. If you don't get one because they were gone, let me know. I'll print another one for you. Let's pray, and then we'll stand and sing. Now, Father, thank you that we have the privilege of being here and of studying thy word. Help us, our Father, to understand it. Thank you for the times that we've been able to be together and study thy word over the last 3.5 years. And I pray that you'll meet the needs of these dear people. Thank you for each one. I know that I love them. I know that they love me. And I pray, God, that your blessing will be upon them as long as they live. In Jesus' name, amen.